And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
When Michaela Bychok took part in the Walk for Justice for Refugees in his adopted homeland of Australia, he had a simple message. Let us remember that the first refugee was Jesus Christ, he told the crowd in the Melbourne Sunshine. A little over a year later, and the 44-year-old was made the world's youngest cardinal at a lavish ceremony in St. Peter's Basilica, leapfrogging more high-profile Catholic leaders and raising eyebrows among Vatican experts. Mr. Bychok, a Ukrainian who has advocated for legislation to help migrants settle in foreign countries, is now a member of the College of Cardinals, the body which will have the task of electing a new pontiff once Pope Francis dies. Since being elected in 2013, Pope Francis, described by some of his detractors as the woke pope for his progressive views on migrants, the environment and the same-sex unions, is widely seen to have packed the College of Cardinals with men in his own image. With the 88-year-old Argentinian Pope in hospital in Rome suffering from double pneumonia, acute respiratory difficulties and partial kidney failure, it is a task which the college may have to face sooner rather than later. Electing a new Pope could not have come at a more delicate time globally. With the return of Donald Trump, the re-emergence of the far right in Europe, and a rising backlash against migration. The Cardinals once again hold the future direction of the Catholic Church in their hands, and with it the 1.4 billion people who identify as Catholics. There are 252 Cardinals in total, but only 138 of them are eligible to vote for the next Pope. The rest are ruled out because they are over the age of 80. Of the 138, 110 were appointed by Pope Francis. He wants to ensure a process that produces a pope that the church needs for these times, said Austin Ivory, who is close to Pope Francis and wrote a biography of him titled The Great Reformer, Francis and the Making of a Radical Pope. He wants the College of Cardinals to confront the realities of the world. He has named people who will bring to the discussion about the future pope the voice of migrants, of the poor, of the victims of war. However, nothing is certain in the secretive world of the conclave. Indeed, certainty is the great enemy of unity, as Ralph Yenis used to say in the guise of Thomas Lawrence, the liberal British cardinal whom he plays in the award-winning film Conclave. A reluctant organiser of the conclave in his role as the Dean of the College of Cardinals, he tells a colleague, "Hell arrives tomorrow when we bring in the cardinals." The word conclave comes from the Latin cum and clavis, literally with key, meaning a room that can be locked up. Vicars who are found guilty of sex abuse will be defrocked under the new Church of England rules. The General Synod, the Church's governing body, voted to revive the stripping of holy orders following a string of abuse scandals. The practice was abolished more than 20 years ago. Those who are defrocked are banned from the clergy for life. The move is likely to cover offences including child abuse or sexual assault. Previously, the harshest punishment available to church authorities was to impose a lifetime ban on a priest being able to officiate ceremonies such as weddings and funerals, but they remained priests. The Synod overwhelmingly backed reintroducing the measure. Clergy Conduct Measure, CCM, will replace the current Clergy Discipline Measure, a system that has been in place since 2003. The vote comes after the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse recommended that the Church of England should reintroduce defrocking in 2020 on the grounds that it would have symbolic importance, particularly for abuse victims. Reverend Canon Kate Wharton from the Diocese of Liverpool told the General Synod last Wednesday, "Central to the system is the allocation of complaints as grievances, misconduct or serious misconduct. These routes provide different and proportionate avenues for the disposal of complaints." Ms. Wharton added, "Deposition from holy orders has been reintroduced for cases of the utmost seriousness." Details of how the CCM will work will be finalised in a vote in July, and the system will also bring in restraint orders to be handed to people who repeatedly make vexatious complaints. defrocking was never abolished by the Roman Catholic Church. Former Archbishop and Cardinal Theodore McCarrick became one of the most senior figures to be defrocked in 2019 after the Vatican found him guilty of sexual abuse. Speaking in support of the motion ahead of the vote, the Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, told Synod, "It is good that appropriate action will be able to be taken against vexatious complainants. And I do know from my years of being a bishop, I think of the terrible suffering that some clergy I have served have been through because of vexatious complainants, as well as the constraints and frustrations of not being able to deal with real and serious allegations properly. For allegations of serious misconduct, a one-year limitation to make a complaint will also be abolished under the new process. Investigations into serious misconduct cases will be overseen by a professional team of investigators and lawyers, while bishops will have statutory duties to ensure support for all those affected by a complaint." Ms. Wharton said, "For those who have been harmed, and especially for victims and survivors of abuse, we must have a system that centres on their care, ensures that their voice is heard, and delivers justice." All members of the Synod voted in favour of the new system, aside from three members who abstained. A school in Lincolnshire has banned mirrors in toilets because pupils were spending too much time looking at them. Grant Edgar, headmaster of William Farr Church of England Comprehensive School in Welton, has made the changes after pupils were turning up late to lessons and gathering in groups in the lavatories. Mr. Edgar said the groups of pupils congregating had also caused other students to feel uncomfortable. He said the mirrors encouraged pupils to spend too much time in the toilets. The school had faced punctuality issues from transition times between lessons. "This can make it uncomfortable for some pupils to use the toilets," he told BBC News. "Pupils who need a mirror for medical purposes are allowed to ask for one at reception," Mr. Edgar said. The move has not been popular with parents, who described the ban as strange and a bit extreme. One parent named Kelly told The Telegraph that she was concerned about the changes. She said her daughter wears contact lenses and said she would need a mirror if she needed to take them out. Another parent, also named Kelly, labelled the removal silly and a bit extreme. Psychologist Emma Kenny called for the pupils to be part of decisions which affect their lives. She said, "You don't know what's going on in that kid's life. That hub in the bathroom where they are checking makeup and covering spots can be powerfully important to them." Ms. Kenny suggested that questioning why pupils were spending so much time in the toilets may be a bigger problem. Christopher Whitehead Language College in Worcester replaced mirrors in girls' toilets with posters describing makeup as a harmful drug that makes women feel ugly. In a bizarre move, the doors to the toilets were also removed to allow teachers to view the washing areas. The motivational messages about inner beauty were plastered on the walls of the bathrooms at the school. One read, "If all girls started wearing no makeup and comfortable clothes, guys would have no choice but to fall for girls because of natural beauty." Another said, "Dear girls, makeup is a harmful drug. Once you start using it, you'll feel ugly without it." In a response, a parent said, "Is the school really telling girls that putting lipstick on is as bad as injecting heroin or taking crack cocaine? Yes, girls need to be taught about inner beauty, but this approach is plain wrong." Headmaster Neil Morris was forced to admit that his decision was a mistake as he tried to quell the protests from parents and students. If the thief was in any doubt about what they was doing was wrong, a look at their loot would have set them straight. Well, one of the illustrated manuscripts taken from a church featured the Ten Commandments, including, of course, the clear instruction, "Thou shalt not steal." It was one of three such items stolen from St. Andrew's Church in Little Steeping, Lincolnshire. Another of the manuscripts, which were mounted in heavy wooden frames and said to be worth £300, was the text of the Lord's Prayer. The theft was discovered last Sunday. Church warden Basil Harwood said he believed the thieves had secured a door from inside the church during the day and entered through it later. There was no damage, and dirty footmarks left on the carpet provided the only clue. Mr. Harwood said, "Isn't it ironic? One of the murals was the Ten Commandments, which says, 'Thou shalt not steal.' It's absolutely crazy. he appealed to the thief to have the common decency to return them. And finally, Pastor Jamie said that when he was just about 10 years old, his aunt said to him, "Here is £10 for you, but don't tell your mother." Jamie replied, "It will cost you more than that not to tell her." He also said that when he was small, his mother used always to feed him with a spoon, saying, "There's a train coming, there's a train coming." Jamie said he always ate whatever it was so that she would untie him from the railway lines.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.